Good morning. Okay, good morning, everyone. And thank you for joining. I'm a little bit off today because, I don't know, since last time I'm having problems getting on to the call on my cell phone. So I have to use this landline. I'm going to have to get comfortable using the way, whatever. It's just a whole different setup over here. So I hope it comes out sounding clear and good, but I'm just giving a little heads up. Welcome back, Mashiach and Geula class for the year 5777. This is really exciting. We are going to start a new Parsha. We finished Parshas Vayera, and today we're going to start Parshas, the new Parsha we're beginning, Parshas Chayesara. So what's Mashiach in Parshas Chayesara? We just concluded with the Akedas Yitzchak. Wow, that was such a high moment, the choosing of Yerushalayim, the establishment of the place in this world that from there all Mashiach's light will come from Hara Maria, the third base Amigdash, and everything. So what's now? What's new in Parshas Chayesara? The Torah begins with kind of a sad story. Sarah dies, and so what's Mashiachtig? So we don't have to look too far to figure out what's Mashiachtig over here. In the first four words, Vayihi Chayesara Meya Shana, you have Mashiach right over here. Mem Shin. Take a look at the word Meya. The first four words, Meya is Mem. Sarah is Shin, going backwards. I'm going from the last four words, going backwards. Mem is Meya is Mem. Sarah is Sarah, is Shin. And then go to the first word, Vayiyu. So the Vav is always an addition, but the real word is Yiyu. So Yiyu is a Yud. That's Mem, Shin, Yud. And Chaye is Ches. And he spells you Mashiach. So the moment you start learning Parshas Chayesara, you know you're deep inside Mashiach territory. You have a remez. Now, this is not my remez. This is from one of the Rishonim, Rabbi Elazar Mirgermaiza, one of the great Rishonim. The Chida brings this from Rabbi, a remez on Mashiach right over here. Now, what's the connection over here with Mashiach right now when it's describing the life of Sarah? So the Chida writes that we know that Sarah did a tikkun on the chet of the Eitz Hadas. Sarah looked like Chava. Chava, it says, was exquisitely beautiful, and Sarah was the woman that came close. I mean, the Gemara actually compares Sarah to it's hard to say that, to a monkey compared to Chava. It's beauty. But yet, her beauty was like beyond and similar to Chava was the one that Hashem himself made. But Sarah was the one, being that she looked like Chava, she was kind of, I don't know, the soul of Chava, but her inyan was now to correct Chava's mistake. And it says that by the things that Sarah went down to Mitzrayim and was able to come out of it. We're not going to speak about it in today's shiur. We will speak about it, Be'ezus Hashem, in one of the next two or three shiurim, that how Sarah did a tikkun on Chava. But that's what it says, that Sarah's life was a tikkun on the life of Chava. So Chava was the one who brought about the exile, the galus, the darkness, and all that. So that's why when you conclude the life of Sarah, and we're summarizing Sarah's life, being that she did a tikkun on Chava, you have Mashiach. Mashiach has been accomplished already. Just like we spoke last, when we began Parshas Vayera, we said how Avram Avinu had already arrived to the Gilui of Yemois Mashiach after his Bris Mila. He was in the days of Mashiach. That's why Vayera Elav Hashem, Kachoyim Ayoyim, the heat of the day, we learned then is the revelation of Mashiach's light that is going to be when Hashem takes out the sun from its sheath. So similar to that, when Sarah concludes her life, she's also at the threshold of Mashiach, or already in Mashiach's place. That's why you have Mashiach right at the beginning of Ahicha Yisara Meyashana, spells out Mashiach right at the beginning. Very, very special. Now, when Mashiach will come, all the troubles and all the suffering will disappear, and it will disappear so strongly. So I mean, in such a powerful way, that it would be as if it never happened. As we say, Hayinu Kecholman, we're going to be like dreamers, waking up from a dream where you're like, well, was that real? So we're going to look back at the whole darkness and say, was that real? Like, didn't, now that we see what reality really is, we wonder if that was real. We were just asleep. So the word Sarah, if you change the shin and the tzaddik are interchangeable. Interesting remez over here. Very fascinating remez. A shin and a tzaddik are letters that are interchanged. Where do you find that? If you ever, if you, when you daven in the morning shachris, you say asher whatever, right, in hoidu, ushvuasa asher karas, I think with Avram, ushvuasa in Hashem's promise liyitzchak to Yitzchak. Right, that's what you say in davening liyitzchak to Yitzchak. And you take a look at the very same hoidu as it appears in Tehillim, in Perek Kofhei, chapter 105. You find that you're not saying Yitzchak, you're saying Yitzchak with a sin. So what was once Yitzchak now became Yitzchak. So hold it. How does that happen? Because a shin and a tzaddik are letters that interchange through a system, I think, because they're both coming from shin tzaddik. They're both maybe tongue or palate letters, exactly. So therefore, they are interchangeable. So now we can read the pasuk. Vayehi chaye tzara. Instead of chaye tzara, chaye tzara. Vayiyu. And the pasuk is telling you, vayiyu. Now that we're, Sarah passed away, means she concluded her life. And as a result of that, she did a tikkun on Chava. And as a result of that, we have Mashiach over here. So now we've also concluded the life of trouble, the troubled time, the dark times are over. So the Torah is going to summarize how long is the dark. Obviously, when Sarah was alive, it was still way before the whole Gullus even began. I mean, Yitzchak was born, it was the beginning of the Gullus, all right, 400 years. But Sarah basically they preceded the exile. But it, the Pasuk is giving you over here the summary. Everything is hinted in the Torah. The entire future summary of Tzaras, of all Tzara means trouble. Vayihi chaye Tzara, and the life of Tzara is how much? Me'a shana, esrim shana, v'sheva shanim. If you take the words me'a shana, and esrim shana, and sheva shanim, and do you count the vavs? Let me tell you, give me 1 minute. Yeah, you count. Me'a shana, ve'esrim shana, and v'sheva shanim. You do the gematria. Now, these actually count numbers. This is 127 years, but I'm not going with the taich. We're going with the gematria of the word me'a shana, ve'esrim shana, v'sheva shanim. The gematria of all of that is 2,180. So the pasuk is saying that the amount of time... The pasuk is saying that the amount of time of years of tzara, of trouble, that there is going to be in the world, what is the sum total of tzara, of life, of suffering in the world, is 2,180 years. And when that is over, we'll see in a minute what happens next. Now, what is the cheshbon? So first, let's see, what's this? So again, the gematria of the word me'a shana, ve'esrim shana, ve'sheva shanim is 2,180. Now, what is the significance? What does it have to do with the time of Gullus? If you add up all the Gullias together, beginning with Gullus Mitzrayim to the conclusion of our overstaying Gullus, you get the number 2180. Obviously, we passed that a long time ago, but let's first make the cheshbon that is why, how you get that number. 100, Mitzrayim, the Gullus of Mitzrayim was 400 years. Egyptian exile is 400 years. The Babylonian exile is 70 years. So you got 470. Now you also add on the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Because the second Beis HaMikdash was not really considered a geula. The Yidden suffered terribly from different governments that ruled over them. It was the Greeks, was Roman periods, or other Persian, first the Persians, then the Greeks, then the Romans. They were overtaxed, they were overruled. They did not have their own autonomy government only for short periods. And even then it was fraught with wars and fight. It was not a time of Menucha. You couldn't call that Geula. The first Beis HaMikdash, yes, but not the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. That's why many people chose not to return. When Ezra wanted to bring the Jews back to Eretz Yisrael, there were many Jews who didn't want to come. The miyuchasim, those who had yichus, those that had they did not return because they felt that it's not a real. Why should we go back? Why should we stay in Galus and then go again in Galus? Well, stay in Galus already. They never saw that at Geula. They were not willing to take a semi Geula, a mediocre Geula. They didn't want to do that because it wasn't a real Geula. So if you add to the 470, 420, so let me do that. Let's do the math. 420 plus 470 is 890. Yeah. So you got 890. Hold on. 890. Then how long is this exile, the current exile? Well, according to Sefer Daniel, this exile was supposed to be 1290. So add that all together and you get 2180. That means that the exile is 2180. Now the gematria of of the words Me'a Shana, Esrim Shana, and Me'a Shana, the Esrim Shana, and Sheva Shanim is 2160. Now the truth is you do have 2180 and 20 years off. So the galus counted from 20 years when the Karban Tamid was batal. The sacrifice of the Karban Tamid was batal before the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash. And that's those 20 years. So this is the sum total of all exile. And this is the meaning of Vayehi Chayei Tzara. So says, I'm not making this up. This is a sefer called Teres HaMincha, which is one of the students of the Rajba. And he says that that's the meaning over here. Vayehi Chayei Tzara. This is the life of Tzara. How long will it be? A sum total of 2180. Now we have overstayed this this thing, and we are already at 690 years over, 689, which is about 690 years over this. If you minus those 20 years, so it would be 670 years that were already longer, that this was supposed to end. Okay, so we don't know what's going on, what's taking so long, if the initial plan, at least as the way it was in Sefer Daniel, and that was 1290. I'm sorry, a sum total of 2160, and 1290 was this. And it's, what does it say right after that? This is going to be the years of Tzara. What does it say after that? Vatama Tzara, and that means that troubles died, came to an end. Vatama Tzara, and all the Tzaras, and all the things will come to an end. And when is that going to be? The Pasuk says, Bekiryas Arba. In Kiryas Arba. Now, simply the Pasuk means that Tzara died in a place, Kiryas Arba. We know Kiryas Arba. Kiryat Arba is by Chevron, who Chevron, which is Chevron. But what is the deeper meaning of this, according to this Remez? The Remez over here is that after the Tzara is going to end, it's going to end with Kiryas Arba. So that refers to two things. It refers to Arba as referring to the four exiles. In other words, all the tzaris are going to come to an end after this amount of time. Kiryas Arba of the four kingdoms and the four empires that we are going to endure the suffering from and as a result of these four empires. And also, the conclusion of the exile is going to end, according to what the Gemara says, with a great war involving four empires, similar to the first war that happened with Avram Avinu against the four kings. Similar to that is the war of Gog and Magog, which brings about the end of it all, and that is what the Pasuk is referring to, Vatama Sara Bekiryas Arba, and then, Hu Chevroin Be'eretz Canaan. That is Chevroin in the land of Canaan. The land of Canaan means the land, not the Jewish, it's technically refers to the land of Eretz Yisrael, but it's not called Eretz Yisrael, it's called the land of Canaan. That means that all Canaanites, which means all nations of the world, Hu Chevroin are going to have a Chabura. They're going to come together to attack Yerushalayim to attack Eretz Yisrael. And it was, again, this is not necessarily what's going to happen. Chas v'shalom, we were told Muhammad's Gog and Magog was already diverted. But I'm saying initially there is this inyan that there is this war on Muhammad's Gog and Magog. And that's what the Pasuk is saying, that at the conclusion of this amount of years, which is the sum total of all the exiles, we will have Mashiach, which, as I said earlier, Sarah's life leads us to Mashiach, which puts an end to all of this added up suffering, which is hinted in these psukim, what it is, and it will conclude in Chevra. And what's going to happen then? It says that Avram Avinu came to cry for Sarah, because according to the story as it is described in the Navi, that there's Mashiach ben Yosef who gets killed in that war. And the Gemara says in the Masechta Sukkah, I think, the Gemara says that there's going to be such a big crying and weeping for the death of Mashiach ben Yosef as he died in this battle, and because of that, there's going to be like a tremendous misbeh, a very big eulogy and a crying for Mashiach ben Yosef's passing. So that's what it means, that Avram comes lispoy. There's a last crying, and after that is the, you know, all suffering and all, and after that, what happens? So again, this is all a pirush from the Sefer Torah Samincha, one of the students of the Rashba. Rashba was one of the early, one of the Rishonim, right? One of the, and anyways, what is he? What happens after this? After this is Ve'ela Toldos Yitzchak, comes the next parsha, Ben Avram, Avram Hoyledes Yitzchak. After that comes eternal laughter and joy. Avram gives birth to Yitzchak. Yitzchak means God's laughter. Laughter that Hashem rejoices with his creation. We, the creation, rejoice with Hashem. Yismach Yisrael ba'oisav. And there's Yismachu Hashemayim besagei la'aretz. And there's laughter coming from every direction. Just joy and just happiness. But we will have to, in order to reach that, go through this whole process of the four Goliaths, included, which represents all these years that we had mentioned, and the final showdown of the War of the Four Kings, and the Chevra, and the gathering together of all the nations together to harm and to bring Chas v'Shalom, whatever, but the defeat of them, and all of this will lead to find it, to Tikkun HaShalom. So you see this tremendous Ramazim over here, very, very, very big things that are here taking place. In any case, so we mentioned now earlier that Sarah's life was a tikkun on Chava. Sarah was mesakin Chava. And that's why Mashiach is hinted to right at the beginning of Sarah's passing. I want to go back to that for those who joined the Shia late. The word Vayihi Chaye Sarah Meya, the Rosh HaTevis of it spells Mashiach. Providing that you don't count the first Vav from the word Vayihi, you start with the Yud. Because the main word is with a yud, you have the word Mashiach, because Sarah did a tikkun on Chav, as we spoke earlier, and that's why Mashiach is here. And in the end, in Sarah's passing, represents the conclusion of Sarah's life, leads us, b'schus Sarah, we have Mashiach tzedkenu, b'schus diyavis. To understand that a little better, there's a fascinating, interesting medrash on the words, on the pasuk, vayicha yisara. The medrash rabbi says, the Medrash is bothered. Why does it say a second time? The life of Sarah was so and so. And then it says, Shnei Chaye Sarah, the life of Sarah. So it mentions her life twice. Chaye Sarah and Shnei Chaye Sarah. So the Medrash says, the reason is because Medrash brings a pasuk, Yodeya Hashem Yemei Tamimim. Hashem knows the days of the Tamimim, of those that are wholehearted, those that are complete individuals, tzaddikim. And because Sarah was tamima, she was complete in her deeds, and that's the and therefore matzar chloima. Why does it have to say again shnei chayei Sarah? To teach you shechaviv chayeim shel tzadikim lefnei amakim, the lives of tzadikim are precious in front of Hashem. Ba'olam hazeh u'le'olam haba, in this world, and in the world to come. So that's why it repeats again. That's how Rashi explains. It repeats again, Shnei Chaye Sarah, because Sarah's life is a double life. There is Vayehi Chaye Sarah in our world. That's Sarah's life in this world. And Shnei Chaye Sarah, Sarah's life in the world to come. And the two of them are attached. Okay, these two lives. And Hashem, by him, it's so precious that he sees her life and he's celebrating Sarah's life both in this world and in Olam Haba, in the future world. That's a medrash. Okay. So what's the deeper meaning over here? in this idea that everybody lives in this world and the world to come. What is the deeper meaning? Chayesara, the Eibush is Yedei Hashem Yemei Tamimim. Hashem knows their lives and this world and the world to come. And what's happening? So there's a very interesting Sfas Emes. Very, 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 very unique, very special. The first thing is, first of all, I want to make an introduction. Sfas Emes doesn't say this. When we say Olam Haba, we mean, according to Chassidus, we always say Olam Haba means Tchias Ames. Olam Haba, because it doesn't mean Gan Eden. Because Gan Eden is not Olam Haba. It's a world that's existing right now. Neshamas that leave this world go to Gan Eden, and they're in Gan Eden. Very good. But I'm sorry, I'm going to make a little a break for just 1 second, because I just remembered that in the beginning of the shir, I wanted to dedicate the shir to a boy who needed a refuah shleima. Seriously, a boy. You can say tehillim for him, everybody that's listening. Afterwards, write down his name. His name is Yisrael Aryeh Leib Ben Ha Ben. It was not Hadassah. It was some kind of a Israeli name. Oy. Israeli sounding lame. Not Tamar. All right, if anybody knows. It needs a refuah shleima yet. Zahava, that's what it was. Okay, thank you. Yisrael Aryeh Leib Ben Zahava should have refuah shleima. The shir should be lehizchus. He was in a terrible accident in serious condition in Yerushalayim, a 16-year-old boy. Okay, should have a refuah shleima. Now back to the shir. So so when we say Olam Haba, we don't mean the life of the afterlife. What we mean by Olam Haba, we mean life that's going to be in the future when life comes back. And the connection over here is that Sarah, her years in this world were directed to and linking up with the life that's going to be in this physical world after Tchias Ames. Meaning that her aspirations in her life down here was for that, for the life. Bechlal, it says by the Avos that Hashem gave them a taste of Olam Haba. It says, I think, 7 people Hashem gave them a taste. No, Shloisha. 3 people Hashem gave them a taste of Olam Haba. And that's Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. And of course, their wives. Because one of the things it says that the taste of Olam Haba by them was, but all of them, you see that their wives had some control over them. Because that's how it is going to be when Mashiach comes, that women are going to be superior to men. Eishes Chayla Teres Baila. You see that Avram, if you know, Hashem tells Avram, listen to Sarah. By Yitzchak, you see Rivka is the one who orchestrates all the behind the scenes. She's the one orchestrating it, Yaakov, with Rachel and Leah. So why is that? Because they lived in the world of Olam Haba when a keva to Saviv Gover, where the female is encompasses the man. So you say that they lived in Olam Haba. Obviously, their wives also lived in Olam Haba. So now, when we say that Sarah lived and that her life is counted twice, now it's not stam that there are 2 independent lives, but this life and the future life were intertwined and interconnected. And not only that, in her life in this world, she brought about the world of Tchias HaMesim. She caused that world of Tchias HaMesim. So understand that a little better. What does it mean that Sarah was the one who brought about the future, the resurrection, and the Tchias HaMesim? And that's what I'm saying over here, that Sarah lived. Sarah is Mashiach, and Mashiach will lead us into Tchias HaMesim. What do I mean, Sarah is Mashiach? The word Mashiach is described right over here at the conclusion, at the summary of Sarah's life. Because Sarah is inherently leading us into Tchias HaMesim. And not stam is she inherently leading us into Tchias HaMesim, but her very death, passing away, and her burial, as we're going to see in a moment, the whole burial and the Ma'aris HaMachpelah and all of that is setting Tchias HaMesim into motion. Because we can all understand that the root of Tchias HaMesim is related to the Ma'aris HaMachpelah. Like who's going to get up? Everybody's going to get up. But what's the shoresh and the root of all of Tchias HaMesim? It's Ma'aris HaMachpelah. That's the choiciest burial site in the world. Can you imagine that life springs up from there? I'm not saying technically that the Avos are the first ones to get up. I think there's somewhere that says that Tveria, this, that, whatever that is, but the root and the power for Tchias HaMesim is related to Ma'aris HaMachpelah. And related dafka to Sarah. What does that mean? What does that mean? There's an interesting medrash. The Sfasema says like this. There is, we all sing Eshes Chayil. And who is Eshes Chayil referring to? So we know there's various different interpretations. In general, it's referring to the Jewish people as a whole, where the Eshes Chayil of Hashem. It's referring to the Torah. The Torah is called Eshes Chayil. It's referring to the Shechina. The Shechina is Eshes Chayil. But it says that when Avram Avinu did a eulogy for Sarah, Avram Avinu's eulogy for Sarah was Eshes Chayil. Because Eshes Chayil is referring to Sarah Yemenu, all of our bubby. And Sarah Yemenu is the pristine Eshes Chayil. And Avram, and the Medrash goes through, I don't know if all the psukim, but it describes the psukim on how it's referring to Sarah Yemenu. So one of the things it says on the pasuk, Zamema Sadeh Vatikocheyu. Zamema Sadeh means she negotiated a deal for the field. The Medrash says that she desired a field. And the Medrash says all her life, the Lashon of the Medrash is, all of her life, she was leheichen la'atzma makayim bakever. She was looking for a place, she was scanning out, where am I going to be buried? Now that sounds very strange. I mean, if you're going to live your life, and all your life, I understand people go ahead and they spend a little time for planning for Chas v'Shalom for the future, what's going to be. So they go and they get themselves a plot. It actually says it's a sekula for Arichus Yamim. But to say that a person's all of his life, he's scanning and looking, I'm Zaman Masai, I want to make sure I have a good plot to be buried, that seems like, that's not something you want to worry about too much during your life, about being buried. So what does this mean? Zaman Masada, she's looking for a place. And she took a found. She found the choicest field, the field of the Ephron's field. And she took it and she had a kvura over there. And that's, so what does that mean? It says the same thing in Zohar about Rav Shimon bar Yochai, that he was spent, he put a lot of effort on finding the place. You know, Maran, we know that after Ma'aris HaMachpelah, probably the other most sought after burial place in terms of that people go to a place is Maran Mountains. Rav Shimon bar Yochai also was looking for a place for his burial, like it's amazing, it's an important thing. What does that mean? So here is an incredible thing, which of course, I never thought of, and that the passing of Sarah and her becoming and her going through the being buried was part of her avoida. In we said earlier that Sarah is mesaken Chava. Chava brings death to the world, and Sarah, her avoida, her inyan is to bring tchias amesim to the world. A tikkun in Chava, so to bring the dead back alive. But in order to bring the dead back alive, you have to go into the makam of where the dead is, and from there, infuse the dead with life. Sarah's passing and her going into the earth was for her to fertilize, so to speak, put the seed in the ground for Tchias HaMesim. Where do we see that? First of all, the moment Sarah is buried in Ma'aris HaMachpelah, it says later, what does the pasuk say? Vayakam stechef Ephraim. The field got up. What's Tchias HaMesim called? Getting up. There is a tkim, there's a tekuma. There is a getting up. The field gets up. That means the field, that's the burial place, has a tchia. Come, it gets up. Vayakam. She makes the earth get up. And she brings Tchias HaMesim to those that were buried there. Who was buried in Ma'aris HaMachpelah before? Adam and Chava, who brought death. Now Sarah comes there to bring a infusion of life. Now I just parenthetically, it always was interesting to me. And another one of these very mysterious burial sites is in Queens, where the oil by the Rebbe. And of course, there's the paradox of like the Rebbe and the oil. It doesn't make any sense. What's that whole Indian? We're waiting for Mashiach. What's going on over here? So it occurred to me years ago. It was interesting. You look at the streets of Crown Heights. You see that the Imamish, it's so clear. The Ebishter is so clear. First of all, the neighborhood should be called Crown Heights. Everybody understands. Crown Heights means Kesser Elyon. That's not Stam, a level of Kesser. Kesser Elyon. And the main street that runs through is Kingston. Melech, Kingston. And the Eastern Boulevard, that's Kadmoyner Shaloylam, because we know that Mashiach is going to bring the revelation of Kadmoyner Shaloylam. That's Eastern. East is called Kedem. Oh, it's a boulevard. The Rebbe himself lives on President Street. That was his house, President. And there's another street there called Crown Street. I mean, it's unbelievable. Union, because over there comes the union unification of it's like really, 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 really amazing how everything is so meticulous. So when you go to Queens, and where the oil is, you get off at Springfield Boulevard. Springfield, I always thought it's right off Springfield Boulevard. Springfield is that the field, the cemetery, is part of it is on Springfield because that's the field where spring of life comes back to life. That's just a parenthetical idea that I'm relating to this idea of Ayakom Stay Ephraim, that the field of Ephraim has a tkuma because, and also Queens. Queen, that's Sara Yemenu. That's Sara Yemenu. That's the root of Tchias HaMeisim. That's Sheshchina, Queen. It's all related. Everything is connected. In any case, back to what we're saying. Sara goes in there to inject life into Adam and Chava. How do you see that? We'll see in a minute. That first of all, we'll see soon how Tchias HaMeisim you see is in the merit of Avram Avinu and Sara. Avram and Sara are the source of Tchias HaMeisim, as we're going to see soon. But what does it mean that they just now put a seed of life into Adam and Chava? We know that even when the soul leaves the body, I don't know if the Zohar or the Gemara, we know there is left over what's called kusta dechiyusa. There is a tiny bit of life that's still left over. If there would be just complete death, it would never be able to come back to life. Just like we know physically, we know there's one bone that remains. So spiritually, there is a tiny bit of life, a spark of life that's always attached to the dead, to the body. But why is that? That's only because there's going to be a Tchias HaMeisim. If there would not be Tchias HaMeisim, if the bodies are not going to come alive, so why do you have to leave it's a shud to leave a spark there for no reason? The reason is it's a spark, a little ember that can be blown back into a full-fledged life, which is going to happen. Right? One day will come when Hashem will spark that spark and it will come back to life. So Adam and Chava, until Avram and Sarah came and brought Tchias HaMeisim and enabled Tchias HaMeisim in the world, so Adam and Chava, it's hard to say this, were really, really dead betachlis. There's no kusta dechiyusa there. But Avram, now, I'm not saying it wasn't, but at least it wasn't revealed. When Avram and Sarah were buried in Ma'aras HaMachpelah and together with all the other Avos, they brought Chayus into the Atzames HaYaveshus, into the dry bones. And that's the idea of Vayakam Steichev. Now, let's understand this whole process. What's this whole idea? So you have the Tchias HaMeisim and the life. Really, it's a four-prong process, a four-stage process, which is essential for the complete evolving process of creation reaching its ultimate goal and its ultimate purpose. Based on a mission in Pirkei Avos, the Sfasema says, based on a mission in Pirkei Avos. In Pirkei Avos, it says, an interesting mission. It said, Hayeludim, those that are born, Lamus will die, are here, and they are directed to, meaning those that are born end up dying. The Hamesim, and those that are dead, Lahachyos, are destined for life. Those that are alive are destined to die. Those that are dead are destined to come alive again. And Vahachayim, and those that come alive after Tchias HaMeisim, Lidun, their destiny is to be judged by the judge of all judges, right? Vahakol, and the Mishnah continues, and all this process is Kidei, in order, Leida, to know, Lohoidia, to make known, Shehu HaYotzer, that Hashem is the creator, a former, HaBoyrei, the creator, VaHadayon, the judge, Chul. Do you hear what's going on over here? The Mishnah Pirkei Avos speaks of a process. The process begins with people being born, then after that, death, then afterwards, resurrection, Then afterwards, judgment, and all that brings us to the ultimate knowledge of our Creator. That's the sum total, the story, the four chapters of world history, so to speak, of life. It moves through these stages. That means that for whatever reason, as we're going to soon see, the ultimate das, the real knowledge, and das means attachment, the real das, an absolute unification, to know God and really, really know Him in a manner that you're fused and one with Him, the ultimate intimacy and oneness with Hashem, would not have been able to be achieved without these steps. Life, being born as Adam and Chava in the world and just being given life, Adam knew his Creator, but he didn't really know. For him to really, really know, had to come death. And then after death, resurrection. And after that, judgment. And after that, then we will finally know. So this is the plan. Now, who facilitated the plan? Hear this. This is crazy. Who facilitated this process plan of these four stages? The tzaddikim are the ones who prod the world to its destiny. Tzaddikim are the ones who direct creation to its ultimate destiny. The first tzaddikim who prodded the world and directed the world to its destiny were Adam and Chava. And Chava even more than Adam. And that is the first thing it says in the Mishnah, is that we're born, they're destined to die. We think that Chava brought death to the world and that was an accident. That was a mistake. She shouldn't have done it. The ultimate kavana was that it should happen. So that what? Those that are alive should die. And then those that are dead should have tchias ha-mesim. And then they should have, and then we will only know. So Adam and Chava accomplished stage number one. That the living being should not be able to think themselves as gods, whatever it is. They humbly go to their grave. And then that's stage number one, Adam and Chava accomplished. Come stage number two, what does it say in the Mishnah? Those that are dead have to come alive. Who are the dead that have to come alive? Who brings that the dead should come? Avram and Sarah. They, the Avos in general, but beginning with Avram and Sarah. How do we know? What's the connection of Avram and Sarah to Tchias HaMesim? I mentioned it earlier, but what's the connection? So the Medrash says, it's a Gemara, is it a Medrash, hold it? No, Chazal say, and I don't know where the Chazal, I don't have a note over here. Chazal say, how do you know Tchias HaMesim in HaTorah? That there's going to be resurrection from the dead. How do we know it in HaTorah? It says, Laman yirbu yameichem, that I will increase your life. Ki yamei hashamayim, like the days of heaven. So Chazal say, the Medrash says, what is the ki yamei hashamayim? Kimei Hashemayim means that Hashem swore, like the days of the heaven, which means that Hashem is going to give it to them, to the Avos. Hashem swore to the Avos that He's going to give them the land by Tchias HaMeis. And Kimei Hashemayim, we learned this also in the Maimer one Shabbos morning, the words the days of heaven. Days of heaven can mean like as long as the heaven stands, but it also means something else. How long does it take to walk to heaven? So the Gemara talks that there is a 500-year journey. 500 years is the distance from heaven to earth, from the first heaven, first firmament, whatever. So 500 is the number. The days of the heaven means 500 years. Now the Avos, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov's life together equals 500. If you take Avram lived 175, Yitzhak lived 180, Yaakov lived 147, and you do the math, sum total of it is 500, not exactly 500, it's 502. But Avram's first 2 years in his life doesn't count because he only recognized Hashem when he was 3 years old. So you have to make 502 minus the first 2 years. Then you end up with 500 years of Avos life in the world. That's called Kimei HaShamayim. Those are the 500. That is the 500 years. That is the 500 years that... that is the 500 years of Yimei HaShemayim. And that's Tchias HaMeis. That's what the again, it says, where does you know Tchias HaMeis? Like the days of heaven. The days of heaven is the life of the Avos. So you see that the Avos are the ones who brought us Tchias HaMeis, because they are the ones who implemented Dira B'Tachtayim. They started it, whatever it is. That life on... So now, Avram and Sarah are the ones who move the world to the next stage. And that is that the dead should come alive. So where do they go? They go to Adam and Chava who brought death, and they're going to implement the next stage, which is Tchias HaMeisim. Now, what's the next thing it says in the Mishnah Pirkei Avos? What's the next phase to lead us to the ultimate Das? To lead us to the ultimate Das, the Mishnah says, those that are born are destined to die, those that are dead are destined to come alive, and those that are alive are destined to be judged. Who's that? That's Yitzchak. Yitzchak is judgment, Gevura. Yitzchak represents Yom Adin HaGadol VaAnoira, the great day of judgment is Yitzchak. In the end, Yitzchak saves us at the day of judgment, like we spoke about earlier, but Yitzchak is the Inyan of Din, of judgment, and that's that great. Maybe it means, I don't know what it means, but maybe it means the recognition that when we have a flashback after Tchias HaMeisim, and we see clearly the accuracy of every episode and every Inyan of our life, and all of that is showing us Hatsur Tamim Pa'olai Kichol Derachav Mishpat, that a person, we will look back and see every element that happened, every event, every encounter, everything that happened throughout all of our Gilgulim. We look back at our history. At that moment, in that ultimate judgment, we will see how God was, everything was all part of a plan. Now it's all fragmented. Now it all doesn't make any sense. It's all so confusing. Again, this is my own thought. I'm not sure if this is the din and the mishpat of it. But this is the reckoning that happens from Yitzchak. It's a din v'cheshbet, on what we did and how everything led us into this. And finally, and to conclude, what does it say? What's the next stage? And all of this is to know and to make known that Leida Lohidia Ulihivada, to know, to make known and to be known, whatever the three things are, that what? That the Eibishter is the creator and the maker of life. Who is that? That's Yaakov. Yaakov is the element of Das. Because Avram is Chesed, which is an offshoot of Chachma. Yitzchak is Gevura, which is an offshoot of Bina, which is the source of judgment, and Yaakov is Teferes, which is related to Das. So the third stage is Yaakov. And you have the life of, when you have Adam and Chava, Avram and Sarah, Yitzchak and Rivka, Yaakov and Leah, Rachel and Leah, whatever, what does that bring you? That's the sum total of the entire Tikkun of all four stages of existence to reach the ultimate Das and the ultimate, and the three things that it says. The Sfasema says, Leida, to know, Lohidia, to make known, Ulihivada, and to be known. Maybe it's related to what the Rambam says, Hu ha-yodeya, hu ha-mada, hu ha-deya, hu ha-yodeya, hu ha-mada. These are these three things. The Jewish people have, Yaakov Avinu has three names, Yaakov, Yisrael, and Yeshurun. So these are related to these. That's the ultimate Das, and the ultimate fusion comes through Yaakov Avinu. Now watch this. That's why, where is Ma'aretz HaMachpelah? Which in the Ma'aretz HaMachpelah, you have these four couples that represent the sum totality of all of history. It's in a place called Kiryas Arba. Kiryas Arba are these four stages. It's not, and this is amazing, that it brings Avram, and it brings Adam and Chava. It's sad that Adam and Chava get such bad press because they had the most humbling of jobs. They had to do the first job, and that bring humble the human being by bringing him to die. Yitzchak, Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are already in the procedure of the fixing. But whatever it is, there too, and that very sin and that very mistake and whatever it is, it's all leading to the ultimate Das. That's why we also know that Yaakov Avinu looked like Adam, because he's fixing Adam. This is the final completion of Adam. And that fixes the chet of the Eitz HaDas, which is also related to four. Because what are the four rivers that come out from Eden? It says, Misham Yiparet, from there comes Pirud, and the four exiles, all the negativity associated with four, which we spoke earlier also is the war of Gog and Magog, and all that darkness related to the four rivers that are coming from the Gan, which related with the Eitz HaDas, which is all connected to this, has its tikkun through these four stages when we come to an ultimate fusion and ultimate oneness with God. And that's the meaning now of Sarah's passing, Sarah going down into, plunging into the place of death to bring life into death and to bring about Tchias HaMeisim. And that is Sarah's Mashiach, Vahichai Sarah, Meyashana, that the life of Sarah was all about. Well, that's the meaning of going back. We said Sarah craved to look for a burial site all her life. What does that mean? She knew it's her job to do a tikkun on Misa and bring the world to its ultimate Tchias HaMesim. May we merit to see the Geula Shleim and Tchias HaMesim happen now. L'chaim. And the other great thing is that I finished exactly 12 o'clock. That's a record. Take care. See you all, Be'ezus Hashem, next week. Bye.